Should they have more than one lab? Should they have two labs? Should they have three
Well,
labs?
I recommend the four different lab.
Four.
Four different lab, because they have to find out the removable technician, and then sometimes they have a high-end patient. Sometimes they have an insurance patient. It's totally different. And sometimes cash patient. And sometimes the relationship with local lab, because the repair line, same day, and then probably they want the same day, whatever. So I recommend the four dental lab all the time. My client using the four different lab too.
Welcome to the Phil Klein Dental Podcast. In this episode, we're joined by Luke Kang, an experienced dental laboratory technician, educator, and lab owner known for his hands-on approach and deep understanding of restorative digital workflows. Luke shares valuable insight into one of the most critical links in dentistry today, the relationship between the dental practice and the lab. Today, we'll discuss the most common issues he sees with digital impressions and how they can lead to ill-fitting crowns and dentures. Luke also offers a variety of smart and practical tips for dentists that are transitioning to digital dentistry. One key tip is, for the first 10 cases, take both a digital and analog impression to confirm consistency and accuracy before relying exclusively on the scanner. Plus, we'll get his expert recommendation on the best intraoral scanner, factoring in not just image quality, but also training, support, and price. He'll also weigh in on how many labs a dental practice should be working with. And he'll talk about a new mobile app he's developed to improve communication between the dentist, the patient, and the lab, especially when it comes to shade, midline, pink tissue color, and more. Luke has over 35 years of dental experience and has written over 100 articles featured in nationally renowned publications. He's developed an educational platform through social media where he's accumulated over 2.5 million followers. Before we bring in our guest, I do want to say that if you're enjoying these episodes and want to support the show, please follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You'll be the first to know about our new releases, and our entire production team will really appreciate it. Luke, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Phil.
You know, we were talking offline a bit before we started today, and you have an amazing library of videos on YouTube, really tremendous stuff, and you really connect well with a dentist, and I see that the number of views are very high. So obviously dentists are looking to understand more about the lab and what can be done, what the potential is digitally versus the traditional analog techniques we've used in the past. So let me begin this episode, Luke, with a pretty simple question, but it's important. As a dental laboratory, what are the most common quality issues you encounter with digital impressions submitted by dental practices?
Probably this is a more common problem, such as the margin clarity and then bite record and the tissue and mislead of implant scan body information. So those kind of things, still we had a problem from analog impression technique, which is I've been doing 35 years doing this, and we had a lot of issue. I mean, I've been there. So impression problem, bubbling, whatever, kind of the same problem I can see with the digital. And still, we have to dealing with those kind of things too.
So for the most part, Luke, what are you seeing as the problems when a dentist is fully digital, the lab is fully digital, but the case comes back and one crown doesn't fit properly? What do you typically attribute these problems to?
I think it's this communication or probably the training. But fortunately, I do not have any much margin problem. When I had the full mouth case with the complex case is a more issue, which is I understand because they prep the teeth, 14 teeth, include two implants, and it's pretty tough. And some one or two is kind of a little bloody because the bloody, and then they could not scan properly. And then the other issue too is the vendor to me. Okay, so there's a lot of vendor trying to selling the auto scanner. And then the auto scanner, after that, their training, they have to give them the properly done. My understanding is sometimes there's lack of training to the dentist or dental office staffs. So we do have a little bit problem about the kind of the finger point blame gaming, just like husband and wife, right? Your fault, my fault, but I don't like those kind of things. But to me, the most likely training. But I do have a little bit more problem about implant instead of the margin, because our client does a really great job. and a very clear margin, very solid margin. But like I said, 28 is, and then one or two is issue, which is totally understand, totally. So I told them, so we're going to make it, and then but we expect number 30 case back, number 30, because this is open margin to me, it's a little longer margin, I could not see clearly. So they understand, so after they seeded 27 T's, and then they can take up another scanning and then send to the laboratory so we can finish them up. But the implant-wise, and then they're misleading, like I said, is they gave us this wrong information, such as kind of the, let's say, implant company out there, 100, more than 100 company. Some implant kind of a little more identically same. So whenever they did not give me proper information, we made the wrong print model, and then everything, you know, did not fit.
So what you're saying, Luke, is it's very important that the information you have about the particular implant system that's being used is 100% accurate.
Right. So they just kind of a little neglect information, or sometimes order surgeon office, they gave them the wrong information. So I need a proper documentation from them. Then I can see, for example, Straumann WB or BioHorizon 3.0. And that one is more proper communication instead of the writing, or they did not write it sometimes. You know what I mean? So periodontist, the oral surgeon, they send it to the scanning to us. And then GP, we're going to write it down to RX. There's a, sometimes we do have a miscommunication between those, and then we fabricate it and everything too late, so we have to redo it again.
So what are some of the typical challenges and setbacks that you find when you're doing full mouth rehabilitation with a dentist who's fully digital, multiple implants top and bottom?
Let's say six implants the top and six implants lower, and I could not get the rich areas is borderline areas I could not get, or there's a reference point they're missing. Those kind of things a little bit more issue to me actually compared to margin. So I'm talking about the implant has a little bit more issue, which is I do a lot of implant, that's why.
So when you see an issue with the digital case in the laboratory, you need to make a decision whether you could fix it or it has to go back to the office and that procedure has to be redone. How do you make that decision, and how do you communicate that with the dental practice?
It's tough because we have to let them know with the photo and those the video. I can communicate with them, which is I using the iPhone 16 Pro, and then we can take a capture, and then it's kind of a little variety. The initially, whenever I see the implant model as a huge problem, you know, it's not clear scan, and then the scan body is not clear, those kinds of things. So they have to redo it, unfortunately. But some of the cases, let's say we have to make the occlusion contact from the immediate denture, and then we convert it to the PMMA, and then we see the little difference, then we can recommend the temporizations. So they can do the temporize it in six implant, which is normally they do, even though they did it with the final prosthesis in the mouse, and then we see the differences in the midline, horizontal, occlusion contact is not right, and then I can see the implant side is not clear, then I recommend them. At the same time, I can make the verification jig too, because even though they did it without photogrammetry, and then they did it, but we see the different, you know, scan body position whenever I put it in the exocad. So we made the, you know, analog jig, and then we send it out, so doctor have to seat it and then make sure all in, then I can make the screw retain, full mouth zirconia all together, mm-hmm. engage it together, yeah.
Now, when you have a dentist who's new to digital workflow, they have not done a lot of cases, should they say that to the lab and try to get some assistance so they can make that transition more fluid and less stressful?
Yes. That one's really scary whenever they talk to me just like that, which is I really appreciate that. It's honest is the best policy, as you know. And if they don't know, I recommend them. They need a full training because they don't know anything. Some people don't know how to do it. And then I'm going to ask them, what is your vendor? You know what I mean? What is your dealer? So then I can guide them, know that I'm being honest with you, some vendor training is not good.
When you say the word vendor, Luke, you're referring to the vendor that sells the intraoral scanner, which is a very important part of the equation here in digital workflow.
Most very important.
Right.
But
So talk
you know
about
that.
that. Tell me about a vendor, what a dentist should expect from someone who's selling them an intraoral scanner, because training is so critical.
Yeah, so I've been noticed that I talked to the past 4 or 5 different dentists, and then they are looking. So I recommend them, which is more educational vendor. That one's better. Then humongous corporation vendor is not that great. Even though they give them $2,000 off, it's not worth it. Because after she got the oral scanner, and then they sent to the lab. But sometimes, it's very tricky. Sometimes they prep the 3 teeth, whatever looks fine, but did not fit at all.
So why is that? What is the dentist doing
That one is
incorrectly?
a lack of technique, I bet. But some of the things they did not follow through exactly what they do. So whenever we made it, open contact, open margin, bite is high. So whoever buy the scanner, I recommend them. They have to take the another impression at the same time scanning too. Get the feedback from the laboratory side. So laboratory can do both. So we scan and print the model and also impression pull the model and then we seed it together. Then we can give them report to the dentist. That's the best way.
Wait, so you're saying to do a scan
Yes.
using the intraoral scanner, but also take a traditional tray impression?
Yes, couple, I would say 3, 4 case try in to their lab. So their lab have to check both model.
In the
That's the
beginning,
best.
when you're making that transition.
Yes, that's the
That's
best
very,
way.
very interesting. So the lab gets both the traditional impression in the tray and the STL file.
Right.
And what do you do with both those sets of impressions?
So we pull up the analog, pull up the model from the analog, and then make the pin dies and trim the dies. We see the margin, and then at the same time we got the STL file from the internet. So we print the model, and then we trim the die. I'm same things. We trim from digitally, and then we fabricate it from the exocad. And then we made the crown or bridge, and then we sinter, and then we check together both model.
If one fits on one model, but not on the other, what happens then?
That's a good question. I all the time follow the analog.
Okay, so
All the time.
if it fits on the analog,
I follow analog. Yeah, it's
that's the
not
one, that's the
really.
go-to. But if it looks beautiful on the digital model, but it doesn't fit on the analog, you're not going to go with it.
Not going to do it that. Why? Because I've been done that. Because whenever I send them, it did not fit. Because they used to be the analog impression so long.
So how long should the dentist be doing that, sending
Depends on
both?
they do. Probably some people have some good technique in their hand, just like kids. Some people follow through really well. Some elderly people has a little bit problem. You know what I mean? They cannot change. Probably out then I would say it's at least 10 case. They have to try those kind of things.
Okay,
So
so 10 cases, if you could verify that both the analog and the digital fit the same. After 10 cases, they can go straight digital.
absolutely.
So let's talk about, Luke, the actual intraoral scanner. Can you give us some recommendations on a really good quality scanner? Keep price in mind, training, education, support, and that kind of thing.
Well, Shining 3D is another great option. If I'm a dentist, I can use a Shining 3D because it's 196 gram, very light. I mean, the cordless. And then I can get a photogrammetry at the same time.
That's Shining
Hey,
3D, Shining 3D.
Shining 3D, hey. I mean, I used to work with a lot of oral scanner, including 3Shape, Medit, iTero. And Cerak, those kind of thing. But after this guy just made it. That's crazy. And only $20,000.
I've talked to dentists about the price, and they're like almost like, are you sure you can get all this? They have a whole digital package that's pretty reasonable, but there's some really good Dr. Towell. I don't know if you know Dr. Towell. He's a
No.
implantologist, and he trains a lot of dentists on digital workflow, and he very much likes the Shining 3D system. Any other recommendations?
Well, after that, well, I mean, like I said, Shining 3D is very fast and everything. Then I recommendation, second recommendation is Medit. Third is a 3Shape. I don't know about new 3Shape that they're just launching.
So in this episode, Luke, I do want to address AI and some of the things that AI is doing as far as design work and creating aesthetic dentistry for the dentist in lieu of the lab in many cases. But you talked with me before this episode and you told me pretty straightforward that you can spot an AI designed aesthetic case pretty quickly. Tell us about that.
Absolutely, because the fat contour emergent profile is a problem. So occlusion table is too wider than the other, and then occlusion groove is not that, it's just checking scratch.
Well, what about, I mean, in the future though, AI is going to continue to improve on
you,
that.
In the future, the most common thing, single unit, three unit bridge, AI will going to take over more. But I don't think take over more cosmetic. I mean, cosmetic is different cosmetic. For example, so they make the prototypes anterior 60s, 80s. Yeah, AI will going to take over. Not a problem. Just A1, B1, make mono, mirror, spray, out the door. But those kind of things, AI will going to take over. I don't know, probably 10, 20 years, but they have to get a symmetry, those kind of thing. But the more high-end stuff, no, they cannot. Because the two implants, number 7 implant, number 10 implant, the other one's crown, is kind of a little tough. So it's customize it. When we customize it, then we have to see the implant site from the gingiva contour and the incisor length, the totally different yard. So like you said, depends on the dentist. You know, whoever wants dentist, yeah, 50% dentist, they actually, I would say 30% dentist, be honest with you, they don't care, right? 30% dentist, but 30% dentist, they're really good. And so, now 40% dentist back and forth.
So say that again, 30% of the dentists are, how did you categorize them?
They're bad. They don't know what they're doing.
So they're just, they really are just going through the motions of scanning, but after that.
Yeah, whoever buy the scanner, they have to buy the scanner, right? The 1 hour, whatever they made the crap, to put it in the crap, the back tools, no problem. They don't know, they just need the money.
I didn't know it was that high. That's kind of disappointing, but you're the one that's interacting with the dentist on a larger scale. So you're a good, source for deciding whether dentists know what they're doing or not, because you get the work in the laboratory and you see what you have to work with. Are you finding that in that 30% where you quote unquote say dentists don't know, you know, that much about what they're doing, are they having to deal with a lot of redos?
No, because think about it. So they sent outsourced in China and Vietnam and Philippines, right? Mm-hmm. So they took the cases with by unit, by money. So you know what that meaning? So they don't care. What that's meaning is that they took the small tray or scanning, they send it out to make from, I cannot believe the price is $25 to all the way $65, the posterior molar. And think about it, DSO, you know, DSO trying to buy the lot of dental office they, you know, put together, send it out to China just like that.
So that's tooth dentistry though, right? That's individual, what they call tooth dentistry. They're not looking at the whole occlusion. They're not looking at the...
They do. But they don't see the more detail. Detail meaning is even the little bulky, no problem. Under contour, no problem. And it's a shade tap, just like B1, right? So it looks like they're B1 dentists to me.
Okay, so it's the aesthetics is certainly lacking.
Very lacking.
Yeah, the aesthetics is lacking. But the function, but is it functioning well?
Function is out of occlusion. Simple, right? Function, I mean, so eventually they have a problem is, you know, that's why quadrant dentist took over those kind of job. After quadrant dentist took over, then after that, who? Prosthodontist took over. So they made the rehab.
So let's talk about the other category of dentists, the dentists that do know what they're doing. Is that 70%?
yeah, I mean, they do know, but yes, pretty much. But what I'm saying, the more the care, the savvy and preparation, documentation, right? So the understanding and those kind of thing, a dentist, I believe about 50%, 60%, that's it.
So you're a boutique lab, right?
Yeah, I've been there. I mean, I set up the business 30 years ago.
Right,
I've been
but
there.
you focus on very high quality cases and
Try to.
aesthetics. Yeah, you try
Try
to.
to.
So you're selectively working with dentists
Correct.
that really do care about every detail, and they want to work with someone like you who's very well known in the United States.
Thank you.
Hundreds of videos you've done, which
Thank
really
you.
explain in a very basic way. And I'm not saying that in a way that's disparaging in any way. When I say basic, I think that's the best way to teach, actually.
Sure, yeah, because I work with a live case. It's not like sample case. A live case, especially tough case, whoever placed implant was wrong. I'm not saying I'm not blame anybody, but patient really need to fix it. But patient only has a three implant, but they want fixed restoration. And everybody laughing. You know, textbook said, academy said, school said you cannot do with a three implant with a zirconia, but I made it. I made it in the patient's mouth already 4 years. I mean, those kind of things. What about long span panic? They break the law. I mean, there's a lot of questions. I mean, the oral surgeon said there's a bone loss and they cannot do much about it here and there. It's a lot of excuse, finger point. That's fine, regardless. Somebody
No,
placed
nothing
implant.
stops you. You're not.
I mean, that's why I'm here. Otherwise,
Yeah.
I'm going to retire. I mean, I don't like that B1 technician.
Right.
Hey, look, make for me A1 nice. I told him, hello,
So
A1.
let me ask you this. What technologies are you bringing into the laboratory that our audience would find interesting?
Well, technology, like everybody, just like that, they trying to get the AI or good scanners or face image scanner, those kind of thing. But my job is to make them more comfortable and happy and save their time, predictable quality. So actually, I follow out there what they do, which is auto scanner, same thing, face image, scanning image, those kind of thing. But I'm trying to develop my app, which is the digital shade guide matching, which is already developed. I spent a lot of money.
And that's
And
on the
also,
that's that the iPhone runs that right in
yes,
the
it's
office.
coming 2 weeks later. So I already finished Android. So why I made that one? Because a lot of dentists, I mean, I would say 40% dentists did not use photo at all. They just write it on D2. That's it. Okay, even anterior, posterior, D2. Some dentists write it down all the time, A2, 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 like that. But the problem is our Vita Shade Tab is made by composite and the monochromatic and two tones of the color, which does not look like natural teeth color. You know what I mean? But everybody pursuing natural teeth color. But I have to make the natural teeth color. That's why I developed my shade guide, zirconia shade guide. But think about it, everybody wants zirconia nowadays, right? But they're using the composite shade tab, which is a Vita.
Your app, let's say you have an iPhone, you take your phone out, and how does the app work? Does it have anything to do with the midline also? Does it capture the midline
Yes,
of the nose, so straight down the middle of the nose, down through the teeth?
because of, what's the denture problem most likely? Midline. And then what's the most problem? Horizontal, whenever they're smiling, right? Those kind of problem I have. And then cosmetic-wise, what patient wants to see? The finer. And then a long time ago, they cut off the Madonna, the pop star, a paper that's brought to me, and they make same exactly diastema between 8 and 9 like that. But I don't like that. But I'm trying to give them their face with their restoration in their mouth with the AI working.
So
And
what characteristics does your app have? List the ones that it takes care of. Shade, midline, what else?
shade, midline, horizontal line, pink color selection, those kind of things is there.
Right. So if it's
So
a whether it's a denture or it's fixed,
that's right.
it's the same app.
Yes. That one's I developed. That's why, because my main thing is I'm doing, 35 years, and I'm talking to myself, look, why you charge too much to dentists? I don't want to. Why? Because sometimes they're easy. 6 unit even doesn't matter. So I'm trying to thinking at, that's why I'm narrowed down, trying to give them the best solution. For example, aesthetic and the size of the tools and contour. Once they submit it, the contour, And then we can finish with a monolithic with easily, just like another laboratory. And those kind of things I'm trying to have the dentist. And also I'm education regarding single dentary tools. And then now I develop it in my ebook. So a lot of dentists has the problem single central tooth color matching, too central. Even they undertreated, as you know, color is bad, lack of room facial. How can you match the adjacent teeth? But luckily, adjacent teeth are clear, fine. But if luckily it's monolithic or whatever, how can you match it? Those kind of things I develop in my end. So it's not like the other laboratory does. They diligently working with as much as possible, which is I'm so glad. Anyways, eventually we have to help the dentist and the patient as much as possible. I mean, I'm trying to help them the different way.
Now, does everybody that uses your lab have this app? Is that required? Is that required to send you the case?
No, it's not required. It's a free country.
No, of course. So but it makes things much easier, though, when they...
Much easier. I would say my client will going to using probably 10-20%, I would say. Why? Because they know what they're doing. So my focus on who has a problem, who doesn't know what to do, but they want good communication with the patient, then I recommend them $10 per month and try. If you don't like it, cut it out.
Oh, I see. Okay, so this is a great way to get the information from the patient.
Yes, and then we're talking to them. They can send to their lab. If you know they have to send, that's fine.
I see. So they don't need to use your this
no,
app. This
no,
app could
no,
be
no.
for any lab.
Yes. No. Now I'm so lucky. I mean, to have my lab, so I built on over $6 million here, mm-hmm. and I'm so happy. So I'm trying to help other people. I mean, I do have a lot of followers, as you know, and then I'm trying to teach them. And hey, I'm 58 years old. I don't know how many years I can do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, well, that's still 58, still young. But yeah, I think you have, as far as what I've read, you have over 2 million followers. Is that still?
Yes, 2.5 now.
2.5 million followers between
yeah,
all the
yeah.
different social media platforms. So as we approach the bottom of this podcast, Luke, I want to address something we talked about offline, which is those dentists that are not embracing digital technology, and they are, in your opinion, at a pretty big disadvantage. Tell us why.
For example, if they don't use the digital, they don't have any digital file. I mean, the cosmetic cases, whatever. So they don't have any. I mean, the communication, lack of communication too, because analog is hard to communicate it. But digital is easy to communicate it, and they show to the patient, and then they can sell, and they can convince, and they can show to the patient, and everything is confirmed from patient. Those kinds of they lost. So eventually they lost of a lack of confidence from the patient, I'm
right,
saying.
So case acceptance is really...
Exactly.
So you're finding as a laboratory owner that those dentists that embrace digital technology, without a doubt, have higher case acceptance.
100%.
And the reason for that is because they can visually see it on the screen?
Absolutely. And then they can design, so they can see design, which, like I said, time is money. So they design it, they can see it right away, they can cap the fire, and they can change with 360 degree if they want to. This is a world out there. But if they don't use it, and they talk with over the phone, that was 1980, 2000.
So as we wind down this episode, I do want to address 3D printing. How do you see 3D printing affecting the laboratory? Because I know they're printing in Europe, they're printing zirconia to some extent, and eventually we'll be printing, you know, zirconia ceramic crowns here in the U.S. That seems to me that would have a negative effect on the business of a laboratory, an outsourced laboratory. What are your thoughts?
Yes, but 3D printing, they have to buy it. They're very necessary because they can make the markup from the diagnostic wax up, or they can make the print temporarily. They can do that. So really convenience for the doctor. Absolutely, it's effect for the laboratory. That we're going to lose the temporary, those kind of things.
Right, but the bigger cases, that's not going to make a difference. The 3D
only
printing.
only 5% dentists they can use how to use that one perfectly.
The print, so the 3D printer.
Yes, 5%. They made a good job, but for what I'm talking about, the dentist per hour at least $400. Whenever they made the printer, they lost money.
Right. See, that's the whole thing.
They're not businessmen. So
that's so true, Luke. What I've been hearing when I do these podcast episodes and I interview a lot of well-known dentists, a lot of them are prosthodontists, and they go, listen, I'm a dentist. I'm not a laboratory. And what I'm selling is my time and my expertise, my diagnostic expertise, my treatment planning expertise, and so forth. I'm going to send it out to the lab. A lot of these guys are just women and men are just going to send it out to the lab. And they have to have a very good relationship with their laboratory person, whoever they work with. And they have to have confidence in their lab. And I know your lab, LSK-121, is a very... That's the name of your lab, correct? Did I get that right?
Yes.
LSK-121. So the doctors that I talk to that work with you rely on you in a very, very big way. They have peace of mind. Yeah, they have peace of mind because they know you're on top of it. Your team is on top of it and you stand by your work and everything else. So, you know, I'm not a practicing dentist now. I was an endodontist for many years. But if I were to practice now in this digital age, I would rather have a good relationship with a very high-end laboratory and work as a team, just like if I was a GP, I would work with a periodontist or an oral surgeon or whoever. Right. It's part of the team collaboration is that laboratory.
That's right.
And
that's
to bring the lab in-house, unless you're totally set up for it, like you said, it could end up being a real loss of money because you're spending more time in something that you don't have that expertise in.
Well, if they have to bring the lab tech, but they have to pay at least $100,000, then they can get maybe good technician, at least $100,000, $125,000.
So that means they have to have a huge practice as far as output to pay for that.
Absolutely, because we said everybody has a time and they're worth it. For example, my ceramist, those kinds of things, they got per hour $70. It's not cheap.
Your technicians get paid $70 an hour?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's
why. Because I cannot pay $30 because whoever come to me, I'm a technician. Look, I'm doing 30 years experience. I'm doing good, and then but you can give me $35. I don't trust them. Are you kidding me? So, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
my doctor, we're going to laugh.
So you're going to get a lot of people after they hear this podcast. They're going to say, "Hey, Luke, I'm ready to work for you. $80 an hour. I'm good.
No problem. You know why? Because they save my time, and then I say hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask them, do you know the occlusion? Okay, Dawson. Do you know the Panky, those kind of things? You understand? Okay, great. Do you know the tooth morphology from the 1 through 32? Okay, great. Show me your picture, what you did. They show me the natural lifelike aesthetic. Even though bad situation they made it, I'm willing to pay. I don't pay $1 million shopping center.
Yeah, right.
I pay the human because that human, they give me my life.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, listen, right now with the way AI is, Meta, which is Facebook, Zuckerberg, he's putting up $100 million to recruit top people for AI for Meta because they're kind of behind the eight ball right now in artificial intelligence.
Brilliant.
So he's willing to pay top dollar to recruit the top people, and it's the same as what your laboratory does. You recruit the top people.
We have to. Otherwise, you know, not only that, integrity, the people integrity. You see, who's bad character, I don't hire them. Doesn't matter because they're bad.
Right.
I want good people, just decent. We just talk, communicate it, and then we know each other. Mm-hmm. So we care because our dentist client is really good. Yeah. Those guys, because that's why I have a phone and then I can, you know, I mean, 40 hours just contact them constantly because I'm trying to save their time. I they show them the perfect way that they, like you said, could sleep really well.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, as you as the lab owner, the buck stops with you. If there's a problem with the case, even though one of your technicians worked on it, it's going to end up in your lap. So you need to hire good people. To wrap up this episode, Luke, and there was quite a lot discussed here, what would you say to a dentist who's looking for a lab? What would you say to that dentist is the most important things they should be keeping top of mind when investigating which laboratory to build a relationship with? Should they have more than one lab? Should they have two labs? Should they have three labs?
Well, I recommend the four different labs.
Four?
Four different labs because they have to find out the removable technician. And then sometimes they have a high-end patient. Sometimes they have an insurance patient. is totally different. And sometimes cash patient, and sometimes the relationship with local lab, because the repair reline same day, and then probably they want the same day, whatever. So I recommend the four dental lab all the time. My client using the four different lab too. I mean, I'm being honest. I told him, no problem. It's okay. Country.
And which category do you fall in out of those four? The high end one.
No, complex case.
Okay,
and
complex
one case. They think this. Look, this is bizarre. I never done that. I mean, hey, look, I failed with other lab. I want good quality work. What do you think? Hey, look, I have a bite problem. This patient was demand.
Yeah.
To look, good. I want to talk. Those kind of guys, me.
It's amazing to me that you're not a dentist, because when I saw the video on YouTube of you in the dental practice with the dentist was like setting up the scan bodies and you were saying, no, tilt that in a little bit. They have to touch whatever. He was just listening to you and doing whatever you said. And then you went to look at the scan after he scanned it. He says, no,
I really appreciate that. It's teamwork.
Yeah, I know. But it's the knowledge that you have on these cases. Yeah. If you could clone yourself and be in every operatory while they're doing these cases, that would be really something.
Yeah, and believe me, a lot of dentists, they still send here posterior here to the unibridge here. We don't talk each other, but they knew I'm stand behind for their cases. When they have a problem, eventually me.
Yeah, of course.
So, eventually me. So I'm not run away. I just all the time talk to them. Whenever I see problem, I let them know immediately.
And talking to our audience now, if you're interested in watching some of the videos that Luke has put up, and he's published over 100 articles, as I mentioned in the introduction, featuring all sorts of cases and in many renowned publications in dentistry. But if you're looking for some really interesting videos of cases, just check it out. Luke, Luke Kang, KAHNG. And you can look that up. The laboratory is LSK-121. Luke, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate
you.
Thank
you very much.
You have
thank
a good
you
night.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You too.